It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Speed run of why you should get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen to all your favorites abroad when you're traveling. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, especially on that public Wi-Fi, airport, coffee shop, venue, hotel. You can also get the Nord Password Manager in case you're always forgetting your password. It's available on all your devices and operating systems, whether it be TV, phone, laptop, desktop, whatever. You can even put it on your router. They also have the file encryption tool to help protect that. 24/7 tech support, so in case you don't know how to use it, they'll help teach you how to use it. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. You can change your virtual location with just one click. Maybe the game's blacked out. You want to get pay-per-views at other prices. NordVPN.com/Fightful has all of that. And there's always a great deal going on there. But here's the best deal. 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. But you're gonna. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Rossap. It is January 13th, 2025. It's the second episode of Raw on Netflix, coming in at a crisp 2.5 hours tonight. Our FightfulSelect.com update said, hey, guys, got some dark matches tonight. That has not been the case usually for WWE Raw, unless it is less than 3 hours. We'll get into that more. We got Ibu here. Ibu, how you doing?
I am doing awesome, Sean. I'm in a much better mood than I was last week because I got to actually watch a professional wrestling show this week, Sean. And I like professional wrestling. I think it's pretty good when I get to see it. And last week, I didn't watch a pro wrestling show. I saw 3 hours of ad placement, of sponsor thanking, of celebrity cameos, and commercials, and just a lot of empty calories. This week, Sean, I got to watch passionate, exciting, hot characters and stories and some killer fucking matches. So you ask me how I am. Listen, I get Raws like the one I got tonight. I'm a happy camper, and I'm a happy camper tonight.
A lot of fun stuff on tonight's show. I'll remind you guys, leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. We've got some new video types that are coming. I'll give you guys the inside. We got Mike Straw, a guy who had worked with Fightful before, working on like some history of wrestling videos, including our first one, which is a look back at the New Japan Exodus of January 2016, which is one of the first like exclusive stories I covered back for Wrestling Inc. back in the day. So be on the lookout for that. We got interviews all week. We got Richard Holiday ahead of Hammerstein, GCW. We got AJ Francis ahead of this weekend's TNA Genesis. And then on Sunday, to get you ready for both of those shows, the Fightful Awards presented by NordVPN. I am waiting on a final box of physical awards to get to my house right now, driving a bunch to Cincinnati, to AEW, shipping a bunch to Orlando, and maybe one to Japan, maybe. Driving some up to Indianapolis, because one very prominent wrestler said, hey, I appreciate this, but I've won one before. Why don't I sign this and we can auction it off for wildfire relief, which made me very, very happy. And of course, we send our love to those affected. But the Fightful Awards, Fightful Awards this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern is what we're aiming for. You're going to see a whole bunch of your favorite wrestlers, your favorite performers, your favorite entertainers on the show. But my God, guys, get your super chats, get your humper chats in here at youtube.com. Or if you're one of the thousands watching on X, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, go to humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. Like hump, camel's hump, hump Wednesday, hump other recreational activities that you might participate in. But we had a heck of a show. Heck of a show here tonight.
Absolutely. One that was well-paced, had some strong action, a great crowd on hand, and one that didn't go 3 hours, Sean. I got to say, you know, as we started passing through 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, my time, I was like, you know, I'm getting a little tired. Hopefully this ends soon. It'd be nice if this just ended soon. And then the main event came, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, you know?
So,
yeah.
Last plug, FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 a month in the business, $54 a year. Moves to $6 a month later this month, but you can lock in your price. We had the rundown on Fightful Select, Ibu, and one of the things, first off, last week there were no main event matches. There were no speed matches. They wanted to do the grand unveiling on TV, but one of the things that WWE Raw had picked up in recent months was post-show dark matches. And honestly, it's something AEW should do as well. If they don't have Rampage, they should not film ROH in front of an exhausted crowd. They should run Will Ospreay or MJF or Adam Cole or somebody, a big name out there. And WWE is great about this, sending the crowd home happy in that way. And they had a couple tonight. And as it turns out, WWE Raw was not 3 hours. It was a crisp 2:30.
Beautiful, beautiful. Look, man, this product got hot on the backs of its extremely talented roster. I said this last week on all the platforms I was on. And it was just a shame that the talents that brought them to the dance were broadly reduced to just being like smiling, waving marks in the crowds last week. As they took a backseat last week to Hulk Hogan and Undertaker and Gabriel Iglesias and people that have nothing to do with why this thing is going as well as it's going right now. And a lot of people got upset at my criticism, but one of my big things is I like the Raw that this company has come to construct over the last few months. I'd like to just simply watch that show. And that's not the show I watched last week. And that show was back in full effect this week, not just at 2.5 hours, Sean, a show that by my estimation, at least when I was watching it, had limited commercials during the wrestling. Yeah. I'm watching Chad Gable just go straight through and I'm like, hell yeah.
Let's talk about that before we get to the actual match. I had listed on the Fightful Scoops thread on FightfulSelect.com. All the matches were listed as two segments except for Penta and Gable. And somebody said, oh, it's going to be a squash. And I said, no, that's not what that means. It means that is a segment between commercials. The actual match wasn't scheduled for commercials, which I think was important for a debut such as Penta's. And I think that that was important for them to carry over. We do have some super chats. Andy says, crazy week of discourse where numbskulls were going after Dr. Fed and Ibu. I don't know who Dr. Fed is, who likes so much of this roster, for rightfully criticizing a poor creative week. Very fun.
Dr. Fed is Michael Hamflett of what culture?
Okay. Okay. Is Punk Roman on the agenda? As last I heard, it was.
Where did my...
Wait, what? Are you gone? Are you dead? Where's Ibu? Where's his audio? He's just staring off into space right now. He's nodding along. He's pretending that he knows what I'm saying, but he has no clue. This is fantastic. How do you guys think Ibu's going to cover for this? Let me know in the chat. Drop a fruit emoji. But I mean, I will say this. We have hit this period of WWE where it's not as bad as last year, but like any tepid criticism will get you hate online. And Jay Pringle says 2.5 hours was an odd time frame. After 3 hours with a 10-minute overrun and 2 hours with overruns, not sure how I like it yet. We got I got a message from Ibu in the private chat. He says, I think I lost you. Oh, yeah. Ibu for sure. Long gone. Long gone. Ibu. Oh, man. I can't type to Ibu right now. My keyboard is all the way on the other side. Like, I don't use this laptop to run it off of. So I've got to log into StreamYard. Oh no, I'm not logged in on this one. And let him know. Oh, he's back on via phone. Ibu.
What the fuck, man? What's going
what
on?
What kind of game is this?
You know, you're making all these great points. I'm enjoying it. And I'm like, I'm trying to talk. And I'm like, can he not hear me? What's going on here?
You look like you're about to ask me if I got any games on my phone.
You got any games? Any games?
Jesus Christ.
Bruce about to take my phone and play solitaire.
I feel like, and it sucks. Like, I'm going to get fined now.
Yeah.
It's just, my pay is going to get reduced. Let's take a trip here while we're doing this Fightful review. Sean,
your audio actually sounds good.
Yeah, man, I have a nice little, it's one of these newfangled doohickey iPhones, you know, with good audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to MTV Cribs, backup hangman, I guess. What's up?
We got Benjamin Howard saying, commentary has noted their new sturdy desk multiple times on Raw and SmackDown. Do you think they're intentionally trying to restore it for the desk break spot? I do, but Ibu, more than anything, they need to reinforce their goddamn guardrails. Their guardrails have proven flimsy in the Bloodline era of WWE.
I could throw a baby through that thing. This is insane. I'm like doing a fucking podcast like it's a FaceTime call with my grandmother, you know? She's like, "Did you get any new where are my grandchildren?"
Oh no, Super Moses. Hey Sean, will dark matches after Raw can be after certain shows be a good indicator of the runtime for Raw? Yeah, I think they will. I think if they have dark matches after Raw, it probably is not gonna go 3 hours. Somebody says Ibu of technical difficulties.
I'm so mad. I was ready to like go in on like people that cry about criticism. I was getting excited about it. Yeah. Sean is making a good point. And then, like, Sean starts to lag, and I was like, no, 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 no.
Oh, no, you were lagging, buddy.
It wasn't me? What does it look like on your end when that happens?
You lagging.
Oh, okay.
You lagging, for sure. I mean, I'll say this. I can't tell you the number of people that have tried to hit me with the, you gave a guy a platform who hates the product. And I was like, I spoke to a person in the DMs. Mm-hmm. That I was like, did you watch my reviews from 2017 to 2022? I hated the WWE product because it sucked. it's okay to not like the product actively, but also I don't feel like people that claim that are being genuine.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Because I have watched you put over a number of things.
Right.
Listen, I love my dude Alex Pawlowski, who does Sour Graps, but it got to a point to where I was like, Alex, I feel like this is a bit. I feel like it would be better served not on the impartial review. But people have this weird that it's convenient for them. They're like, yeah, you're supposed to be objective. And I'm like, this is a subjective entertainment show. Right. I'm objective when I report news. Yes. I don't editorialize in my news articles. I'm allowed to be subjective when reviewing entertainment programming.
Right. And what I don't understand, Sean, is like for me, like you just said, I'm very complimentary of the things that I think are good. I will criticize as I see fit if I think criticism is deserved. And the bottom line is we have to have standards of some kind, because if we don't, that's how you lead to complacency creatively, and that's how you lead to weaker shows. I can't tell you how many times during that Vince McMahon era, Sean, where people would criticize things, and it's like, if you don't like it, don't watch. Or, you know, then da-da-da. And it's like, well, sure, many people have stopped watching. And again, WWE's boom period is partially because the shows are just better. And they reward you for paying attention. And they allow you to invest in, like, the people that are involved. And so that's what I'm doing. And I'm putting it over when things are done well. And if they're not, then I'm going to hold it to the standard that they set for themselves. It's as simple as that. And I wouldn't be here if I just outright despise the product.
When you say on commentary, welcome to the big time Penta, well, you're setting that standard for yourself. You're saying this is better than the place that he was just at, or any of the places he was just at.
Right.
Speaking of, a fella who was there, CM Punk. He mm-hmm. is not all elite, but he is all yeet. I understand. Yes. He put on the Jey Uso glasses. He comes out and he says that he, you know, left Seth Rollins in the rearview mirror, and he had to put a lot of his dreams on hold. One of them was winning the Royal Rumble, which it's mind-boggling. He hasn't won a Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Main eventing WrestleMania. And to get there, he needs to win the Royal Rumble and challenge for a world title. He is interrupted by Seth, and Punk's reaction to this is amazing. I really loved it. And then Seth is interrupted by Drew after he declared for the Royal Rumble, and his reaction was phenomenal as well.
Oh, yeah.
Drew is in the Royal Rumble, so we have back-to-back-to-back huge Royal Rumble announcements off the heels of Roman and Cena entering. These are like the five biggest names possible.
It's just a strong way to make it feel like this thing is big, it's important, and it matters. And I got to say, Sean, you know what's really impressive? Fightful Select has been on the ball when it comes to reporting around the big title matches at WrestleMania. And you have been very transparent about how that's evolved over time and where things currently sit, right? Yeah. We as fans are aware of where they currently sit. And based on that, conventional wisdom should suggest that means that this guy or this guy is going to win the Rumble. And you know what I think is very impressive, Sean? Is that in spite of that information that is very much out there and accessible on Fightful Select for $5.99, the best $5.99 in the business, I'm still watching this segment and I'm saying, I don't know who's winning this Rumble. Yeah. That's the power of good fiction. That's the power of storytelling, is that I should be like, oh, it's going to be John Cena, because obviously, right? But no, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. Roman Reigns is in the Rumble. How do you eliminate Roman Reigns? What's CM Punk going to do in the Rumble? How does Seth Rollins get eliminated if he even does? Who's going to handle Drew McIntyre? So all these different elements are circulating and at play at the moment, and it just leads to a very unpredictable situation, and I think that's a good thing going into a big show.
And they got Cena already advertised for Elimination Chamber. Now, I feel like Cena will win the Rumble because they're playing up he's not really that good. And even though winning the Rumble is an achievement, like, anybody can get thrown over a top rope. Like, yes. That's anybody can do that. You're not getting pinned. To win the Elimination Chamber, you got to eliminate a couple people probably there. And also, I probably wouldn't risk putting John Cena in an Elimination Chamber match at this juncture. But
what do you think he does at the Chamber show then?
Hopefully beats up some absolute donk. bring back Elias and have him hit his five moves of doom and then beat him.
Maybe that's where we do the Logan Paul Cena match or something. No,
I sincerely want Elias in the Royal Rumble at like number three, and I want him to get brutally attacked and taken out and eliminated. And then I want him to go backstage and shave and come back at like 17 as Ezekiel and exact revenge on whoever did it to him, and just write off both characters forever.
That'd be sick. You know what's funny, Sean, is somebody pitched this is not Raw related, but someone pitched Tony Storm doing a Three Faces of Tony thing at the Women's Casino Gauntlet.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
I would love it. Awesome. Yeah. I'll be there for that this week.
But the problem is they don't do over the top eliminations, so it had to be something really cartoonish, like the referees are taking Tony out because I think she hurt her elbow, and she's like, oh, I cannot continue, you know. And
so I feel like there are ways that they can evolve that match, mm-hmm. and they can make like over the top rope doesn't end the match, but it can eliminate somebody. I think that would be a nice way to adjust that match, but. Punk, Drew, Seth, and I love, like, it's so funny because Seth's character does mirror Hangman Page an awful lot. There's so many similarities. Like, that is a dream match of mine for the feud that would occur between Hangman and Rollins. But Rollins, more than anything, he's like, man, I've won the Rumble. I've been in the main event of WrestleMania. I've been in multiple main events of WrestleMania. I've been the world champion. I've done this. I've done that. Now I just want to screw up your life. And I admire that.
Listen, I was told by someone close to the situation, Sean. So I guess this is a anecdotal scoopski.
Okay.
I was told on record a couple weeks ago, quote, I have an idea to get Punk and Drew back on screen. And I was like, interesting. That's interesting. Okay. And I think this was it. You know, these three characters are going to be intertwined for the foreseeable future, I think. They're just inextricably linked. They have a lot there when it comes to continuity and storyline. And so, of course, Seth Rollins is going to continue to chase after CM Punk. That's the, listen, man, that's the jersey that's hung on the rafters at the end of the day. No matter what Seth says as a character, the bottom line is the truth is that he did look up to CM Punk and he wanted to be like him and he chased him and he wanted to emulate his journey from Ring of Honor and the Independence to WWE. Punk got the big win over him. That's going to really hurt. That's going to stick out in Seth Rollins. And so, he's going to keep chasing. It's going to guide him. It's going to motivate him. That's what it should do. And at the end of the day, Sean, consistent characters are characters that I can get behind. I think part of the reason why I find myself enjoying Seth lately is that his character is very principled and consistent. He's principled and consistent in how he sees CM Punk, how he refuses to be undaunted by the fact that he can't, I guess, shake him off his back. And also some of the things he said about the bloodline and the people that are choosing to fraternize with members of it. So Seth has had a good couple months creatively and narratively. And that continued on this episode.
Then we got the match. Penta defeated Chad Gable in his debut. Chad Gable cut a little promo during the ad break, but they kept on calling it the worst kept secret in wrestling. I was told this morning's merch release was a happy accident, so to speak.
I don't buy that.
I think it was a coordinated thing.
Listen, that man Nick Khan stood in his big chair and he was like, so look, well, here's what we're going to actually do. We're going to release it in the morning and get some buzz. Then the outlets are going to post about it. And then the accounts are going to post about it. And we'll drum up some last second excitement. Maybe do some walk-ups, ticket sales after. You know,
usually that's the method. That's it. That's under this regime. That's usually the method.
Because they're not dumb and they're trying not to insult your intelligence. They know everybody's on their phones.
Yeah. We got Berserk saying need Phoenix to smack Jericho with Tony's monitor. Jonathan Corona says great debut of Penta. He used the Penta Destroyer. They mentioned Lucha Underground. What a time to be alive. Are there any dream matches? I got Punk Penta, Seth Penta, Penta versus Gunther. Those chops between them. Yeah, I mean, he's working with an almost completely fresh roster. I was shocked to hear them bring up Lucha Underground, even under this regime. He used what he calls the sacrifice, which is the arm breaker, and then the Penta driver. I mean, he ain't going to use the package pile driver now that they have made that like a kill somebody off for a couple weeks move. But
thankfully, the Made in Japan is a fucking sick move.
It is.
You know, it is a sick move. When he set it up, I was like, is he going to call it Made in Japan, Michael Coletis? And he was like, the Penta driver. And I was like, I'll take it. A hell of a fallback move to use when you can't use your main one. Remember when Bobby Lashley came back to WWE and he couldn't use Roman's spear because Roman used the spear. And so it was like, just do a long delayed vertical suplex as your finish.
Yep.
And it's like, all right, I guess. Sure. Look, you want to just do it now, Sean? This match was a very impressive piece of business.
Listen. I've got a piece of criticism.
Sure.
And if this were in AEW, I'll say that.
Okay.
The IG accounts would pick it up and you would just see a bunch of comments. What happened to selling?
Oh.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Doing the Tope Con Hilo right after working over the leg, like getting it slammed into the ring post. I was like, maybe skip that one. Skip that move.
Sure.
Other than that, I loved this match. That was the only criticism I have of it.
There was so much right about it, I thought. Now, mind you, I expected, I'm like, look, he's working Chad Gable. Like, it's going to be good. However wherever Penta is right now, physically and performance wise, he's going to be his best against this guy, who's going to one of the best in the business at just being a pro and getting a guy over, right? And I expected that, but even this exceeded my expectation in terms of just how it all came off and how I felt watching it. What I mean by that is I got those kind of goosebumps you'd get when a guy debuted at NXT at an NXT takeover and it was wildly successful. He came off like a star, Sean Rossap, not a good wrestler, not a new fun guy coming in. He came off like a star. And what's remarkable is Penta's getting up there in age. He's a 39-year-old man who's gotten some bumps and bruises over the time of his career, as most wrestlers do. And he's not quite the wrestler he used to be. I was very vocal, Sean, in the last 2 years about how the Pentagon that I was seeing in singles matches was just a little bit lackluster. And I don't turn back on any of that, right? But the bottom line is, in wrestling, there's a magic to just switching locations and just having a fresh slate, fresh eyes, a new spot, and they're just being extra juice there. And that's what happened here. He's wrestling this match at Chad Gable. And the key to a successful debut, Sean, is, from a wrestling standpoint, are you communicating to this audience who you are? And you know what kinds of pro wrestlers are better than any on the planet at getting over in one night and showing the people who they are? Luchadors. Luchadors are phenomenal at basically being like, this is who I am. It's because so many of them, that's the conditions they came up in. In CMLL, they're working in front of tourists every Friday in Arena Mexico. They're working in front of people that don't really watch wrestling on a regular basis, but they got to find a way to deliver fun action on the night. That's what these guys cut their teeth through. So, of course, Penta is going to walk in WWE and be an absolute showman. And that's what he was. People were doing the Cero Miedos. People were so into it. Holy shit, Chance. This is awesome, Chance. Canadian Destroyers. Fucking Made in Japan's. This match had it all, and I was kind of blown away by how strong this was as a piece of business. I was really glad there was no commercial break, so it really allowed you to lock in on the action. And you're going to get to it, but I mean, the post-match was like, it was like moving. It felt triumphant.
It was, and he got some promo time afterwards, and it definitely felt like he went long in that promo. But it, you can tell how much it meant to him. His daughter was there front row in tears. Penta cut a promo in English, in Spanish. He very much said that this is his present right now. But Scout says, how do you feel about Penta's time going over 100%? Because it felt like it cut the Intercontinental title match. If he had to cut, it should have been the main event if they had to cut time. And Jonathan, or actually, Alex says, PW Insiders reporting Penta went long, things got cut, talent are upset. Are you able to confirm? Just know the show ended, so I'm doubtful. Okay, so again, I'm still getting information about this. I mean, people are sitting there saying, Sean on his phone getting scoops. This is what I'm asking about. And I was right. Straight up told this. If talent are upset, it is not at Penta. English is his second language. This was a big moment for him. That isn't who they would be mad at. If time was cut, they would be mad at management because we are on fucking Netflix, was the message that I got.
I mean, to me, Sean, as far as I'm concerned, do they not have a more malleable time slate? So in theory, because the show ended at 2 hours and 32 minutes, to be completely exact, right? In theory, could they not have ended at 2 hours and 39 minutes? So I'm not going to, PW Insider, they're very reputable. They do a great job. I'm not going to say that this report is completely unfounded. I just know that when I watched it, Sean, we're pretty good at like discerning when something feels weird in terms of like its pacing, its timing, that kind of thing. And the only thing that felt kind of shorted, if anything, was the IC women's match. But not by much, if any, you know?
Yeah. It definitely felt like he went long, but
sure,
they're on Netflix. Who gives a shit? Like, there's no hard outs. Like, so the dark match crowd in San Jose will be there until 8:15 instead of 8. Oh my God, the horror!
I gotta say, Sean, that feels like pro wrestling to me. Pro wrestling to me is feeling the energy of the crowd and working to a natural conclusion. Pro wrestling, unfortunately, because of just TV deals, TV time constraints, you got to hit your spot at this moment, and then you got to do your thing in front of the camera, and then Raw rolls on coming up next, and then you got to get the heat to come back out of the commercial, and then you do your very specific thing for 2 minutes, and then you go to the finish, and it's very rigid and formatted and tightly squeezed in. But wrestling is natural. It's a feeling. Penta riding the crowd, Penta getting them in it. This is awesome chance, the back and forth, the stiff strikes, and you just ending where you feel like you just felt the right point to end. That is wrestling. That is pro wrestling right there. If he went over his time, so be it. I highly doubt they're going to give him much heat from it. But I mean, obviously, we'll find out in the coming days. Yeah.
Will says Penta versus AJ, we can still drop 40 points match. It's going to be real. Yeah, it is. It's going to be great. Will Chisholm says Penta did 7 N64 No Mercy special taunts that popped.
Hell yeah.
Oh, buddy. Buddy, the Yeet Sierra Miedo spot in the Rumble. I believe Boo brought it up. Last week. It's going to be something to behold. Jonathan Corona says, forgot to ask about the Penta deal with WWE. Is it a 3-year deal? All I know is it's a multi-year deal. Don't know how many deals or how many years.
How many deals?
Well, listen, there were a lot of deals being made last year.
Yes, there were. Sean, could you imagine I turn around tomorrow and it's like, Penta is the spokesperson of C4 Energy. Penta also has a Nike deal. Penta's also like 3 years of WWE. You know?
I think he's going to help lead them into Mexico. I really do. For so long, they thought like having an Alberto Del Rio was going to do that. Like somebody who was tall without a mask and spoke really, really good English. Like that's what they wanted. No. Get somebody that connects with their audience.
And you know what I love, Sean? For so long, it was, you have to speak English. You have to do this and that. At the end of the day, okay, certain people don't speak certain languages, but passion is universal. And Penta got on that microphone, and he spoke sincerely from the heart, directly to the camera, right to all of us. And some of those words are in Spanish, Sean. Some of those words were words that I don't understand, but I understood how he felt. I'm watching him, and I'm watching a man who you could tell he'd waited a long time to get to this point, and it had been a bit of an arduous journey to get here. A lot of it is very well documented, very much by yourself. But he's standing here now. He got to where he wants to be. His fucking daughter is in the front row crying. Yeah. And he basically said, I'm here now. It's my era. You know what that was? That was hunger. That was desire. That was somebody who is emphatically telling you, I'm a fucking star. I'm a fucking wrestling star, and it's my time. And obviously, a lot of wrestlers do the whole thing of it's my era, it's this, it's that, and stuff. And it's usually empty platitudes. But it really feels like he comes off like a guy who is absolutely, I hate to use this euphemism, but grabbing the brass ring. He feels like a hungry professional wrestler who is chomping at the bit, ready to be a fucking wrestling star. And that's what I want to watch. I want to watch guys who are really, really hungry to be the fucking man, to be the best. That's what wrestling is all about. And I thought his passion came through in his promo.
If you want to be the best and you're trying to grab the ass ring, you're dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting. Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. A reminder, I do a Q&A show every week on FightfulSelect.com. It's called the Fightful Report podcast. We also do Select Answers almost every
single day. It's excellent content.
Almost every day. Speaking of the blue brand, although a different blue brand than what we just promoted, the Wyatts are...
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We're headed to SmackDown. Ryan says, felt like Backstage really liked Backstage. Okay, hold on. Let me... This got a little jumbled up.
No.
It says, felt like Backstage really liked Cross's Backstage stuff and his online content, but it's weird to scrap the Wyatt stuff. Yeah. Especially considering I really was on board with your idea of Judgment Day versus Wyatt's at WrestleMania.
Well, you know what? You know what, Sean?
What's that?
I think the Judgment Day are going to go with them.
Okay.
Because we just wrapped up a program here. We just wrapped up the program with Damian Priest. What really, and also I could see WWE saying, let's separate Liv from Rhea. Let's separate Priest from Balor.
So what I thought was going to happen was you would get Judgment Day, all of them. And then you'd get Wyatt's plus Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
That way you got two women on each side.
100%.
And it answers the question of what do they all do at WrestleMania?
And absolutely.
Very much like I think that this much talked about 12-man tag on AEW, like I have no interest in it, but I know that once the match happens, those guys are going to do absolutely batshit crazy stuff and it's going to be a fun match.
Yes.
I have no interest in Judgment Day Wyatt's, but I know that once it happened, assuming they got to have a plunder match, it would be, you know, silly, crazy.
The upside also is that coming out of it, there's a very real chance that the Judgment Day finally split for good. Finn and Balor had been doing the when you listen to Finn, you always win stuff. And it looks like they're on the outs and they're now getting beaten up. And realistically, this version of the group, this incarnation, is on the downswing. This is not the 2023 Judgment Day that were basically headlining all the TVs and winning tag belts. So I do think it makes sense. Look, they've called themselves a family for a long time, but this is a very dysfunctional one due to a narcissistic leader. And the Wyatt family, they very much target those types of situations. So I think that this is still very much in play to happen. I think it's still very likely. I will say this, Sean. I wanted to mention this earlier about Penta, not to go backwards, but I mentioned the whole thing about luchadors know how to get over, right? And you see it all the time with CMLL. And it's a promotion I really enjoy watching, right? But I want you to help me out here, Sean. So I love watching this promotion. The thing is, for me to do it legally, I got to subscribe to their YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And it's a great product. I love watching this product. When you subscribe to their YouTube from over here, I'm paying over $30. And I got a friend who tells me that depending on what location you're at, you're paying far, 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 far less. The thing is, for me to be able to do that, I don't know what type of apparatus I would need. And so I guess what I want to ask you now, and I know I'm kind of late here, but I can't shake the thought about this, right? Is there anything that I could maybe use to help me get a bit of a discount on the CMLL subscription?
That'd be NordVPN.com/Fightful. That's what that would be. You know, the same app that I use to just switch over my Netflix to the UK and watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and the PLEs. Oh, I don't know. The way that I subscribe to AEW Plus and watch AEW without commercials, and the way that I watched Raw tonight without commercials. You know what I got to hear tonight? I got to hear Bailey bury Michael Cole.
Wow. Were there any other cool little neato segments during the break?
Yeah, there was Chad Gable cutting a promo. There was some backstage stuff. There was all kinds of stuff there. And you know what? I'll tell you something great. Nord works full time because they got 24/7 customer support. Logan Paul is not supporting the customer 24/7, Ibu, because he is saying that we're mad that he's working full time. Yeah. But I ain't seen him do anything yet. Is him being full time, him filming some video vignettes for three weeks out of the.
How about you do something, brother?
What's just want him to do something.
Just do something.
Obafemi was there. He was there. Yeah. That happened. Sheamus defeated Ludwig Kaiser.
Woo!
Good stuff. Here's my thing.
What's up?
This feud's been going on for 7 months, Ibu. I don't know if you knew that. Seven months, this feud.
Yes.
I would have liked Ludwig Kaiser to actually have won that. Here's where I'm caught in the middle. I want this feud to be over, but I wanted Ludwig Kaiser to win it because Sheamus isn't hurt at all by Ludwig Kaiser winning his feud. Mm-hmm. He's still Sheamus. He's going to come in, do a bunch of brogue kicks in the Royal Rumble, pound his chest, then go into whatever the hell his February program is. But Ludwig, it's like, well, what's next for him? He's exhausted his stuff with Bron Breakker and all that. And Sheamus will just go right back to Bron Breakker because he was in the, like, watching this match as well. But
he was. They got into a little bit of a pushing match after the match.
They did.
I'll tell you what, though, Sean. And I'm very biased when I say this. So I admit it. It's not great to be encumbered within a vortex in pro wrestling. TV vortexes are toxic. They're repetitive. They're typically unproductive. But I do love me the Sheamus vortex. It's a better vortex than the Judgment Day vortex. You know why, Sean? It's because every week you get these TV matches where two men just beat the living dog shit out of each other. They just hit each other really, really hard. And it's passionate. It's hard-hitting. It's badass. And I thought they had another badass match. Sheamus and Kaiser, they've done this a million times. And you got me watching, like, the 17th Kaiser-Sheamus match. And, like, they're hitting each other with, like, hammer fists. And I'm like, hit harder, hit harder. You know, I'm like fucking, like a fucking Neanderthal, you know, just watching this thing. But, yeah, I like when guy get hit other guy hard.
And that's what these two do. I mean, Sheamus, like, for a guy that looked like his career was going to be over a few years ago, just phenomenal work out of that guy. And you know that he and Braun are going to hit each other extremely hard.
Yes.
Will says, I love how Drew's life is to make sure that Roman does not become champion and get the power again. Yeah, and he was able to sort of accomplish his goal, although it got taken from him very quickly at WrestleMania. But now he's got a fat new contract. He's won the Royal Rumble. He's also technically main evented a WrestleMania, albeit a little bit different. So we're seeing he and Seth Rollins, guys who have traditionally hated each other, with sort of similar goals in that sense. Like, they're not so different, those two, as much as Seth Rollins likes to convince himself that he is. But
no,
Gunther, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, no, they're just not. And Seth is ultimately going to realize this imminently.
A Gunther promo interrupted by Jey Uso. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso wants a match at Saturday night's main event. Gunther very much is like, yeah, you're okay. Then the bell rings.
Awesome.
Like, damn. All right.
He also was like, man, the wrestling on last week's Raw fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was terrible. What the fuck was that? I mean, he said, who gives a fuck about an Ulafala, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, Jey Uso issues the challenge for Saturday night's main event. And I thought he made a great account for himself at the end of this segment because he basically passionately declared, like, yeah, look, everyone's talked down about me being a tag guy, about me not being a main eventer, not being a singles wrestler, not being good enough. And I love when Jey Uso channels this aspect of himself. When he gets passionate like this, you could feel the emotion there. And just a great response to Gunther. You know what I'm also really happy about, Sean? They've been teasing this almost tweener-leaning Gunther, and I don't like that. Just be an asshole. I like when Gunther's just a fucking asshole. And with Jey Uso, the ultimate good guy in WWE's TV, Gunther can be an asshole. So because of that framework and the Saturday Night's Main Event setting where they're going to be in a Jey, I could get into that match. I don't know if I'd say I'd be excited about it though. I think I need to take something if I wanted to be excited. I don't know. But I don't know if you had any.
I like that Gunther, even though he's a heel, he's not afraid of anybody. Like he has, no pun intended, zero fear. He has zero miedo towards anybody on this roster. Like he feels like he can beat them. And if he does lose, he's like, GG's, you got me. Like, there's something admirable about that in a heel. And Eddie Melendez says, I was wrong saying Goldberg was going to cost Gunther versus Punk. I really believe he's costing Gunther versus Jay since he'll be on the show on Saturday night's main event. Well, I'll tell you what I absolutely do not want ever in the history of the universe.
Okay.
Goldberg beating Gunther.
No.
No. But I fear that Goldberg's ego will not allow him to go out on a loss.
He doesn't, to me, he doesn't have to, though. I feel like he could just beat a jackass up. Why can't, like...
Sure, bring back Heath Slater.
Why can't Goldberg and Bron Breakker beat up American Made? You know?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to beat Julius Creed either.
Yes, but
I'd like to see Julius Creed shoot on him.
I think the Creeds versus Braun and Goldberg would be a sick meathead match.
Yeah. I just don't want to see Goldberg beat anybody of value.
I agree. He shouldn't. And look, if he's going to come into this ecosystem and be allowed to swim in it, fine. But you have to then fit in somewhere. You shouldn't be carving out real estate that's already occupied by somebody who will be.
And I feel like Sting's retirement was so perfect. It gave a whole lot of people cause to be like, well, I want my perfect. I want my perfect send off. But Sting didn't want to win. Yeah. They had to make him win.
It's Sean, the chat has figured it out. Goldberg versus Dominic is perfect.
I was saying that for a long time. So yeah. I thought that whenever Dominic was booked against a former world champion, I was like, Goldberg. It should be Goldberg.
Yep.
It should absolutely be Dominic. He does all his cool shit to Dominic. And we all go, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
And Dominic is perfect for that.
Just imagine the promo segment where he's just like, look, Bill. And they're like, boo. And he's just like, no one wants to see you anymore.
Yes.
It'd be fun.
Oh, man. Tim Traver says, I enjoyed Monday Night Raw. Don't care much about time on any show tonight. A++++. Shout out Tim Traver of the Diecast Collective. We love you, buddy. Torch Crawler says, that period where Gunther was a coward and ducking Sammy pissed me off so much. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was annoying.
So, I didn't like that. I understood that him, like, sort of ducking the one guy that gave him an L was like, okay. But he should also have enough confidence to where he believes he can beat that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's just not ideal. I think Gunther's at his best when he's a smug, arrogant prick that thinks he's the best and knows he's the best and declares it. That's what Gunther was in the build to facing Damian Priest at SummerSlam. It's what he was when he was facing Randy Orton and throwing his past troubles in his face. And that's the Gunther I saw tonight when he basically said, man, that show last week was some bullshit. And I'm a better pro wrestler than all of these motherfuckers. Fuck that shit. The other thing about Gunther's character that I love personally is he's the antithesis of what this WWE stands for. And he very much refuses to assimilate into it. He likes to contrast by standing outside of it and going, I thrive here in spite of the fact that I don't fucking do a lot of this horse shit. I don't believe in fuck. I don't care about tribal chiefs. I don't give a fuck about who's the best in the world. And then monikers and nicknames and entertainment and Jey Uso shenanigans. I'm just a pro wrestler and I'm better than everybody. I love that Gunther. And that's the Gunther that we were seeing tonight.
He's so disgusted by the entertainment elements of pro wrestling. And I love that.
Yes. Yes.
Lyra Valkyria is your Intercontinental Champion. I thought that a really good touch about this was, they were like, well, she's the inaugural women's Intercontinental Champion, but she's not the first women's Intercontinental Champion. And they shouted out Chyna in that match as well, which I thought was a very nice touch and a great thing to bring up.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought it was going to be Dakota Kai. I thought they had leaned into this emotional moment. They don't give a shit about emotional moments. They were like, Natty, you ain't getting out of the first round. Dakota, you ain't winning. Listen, we'll go with something else. And Lyra ended up winning.
They looked at the birth dates and they were like, look, this is a girl that went through NXT more recently. She's our little project. Becky likes her. We're getting rid of this fucking belt. Speaking of Becky, I do miss her, Sean. I hope you have something on her soon, brother.
She's chilling at home. So Fightful Select reported last week those rumors that she had was planned for the Rhea Ripley post-match were not true. And I had reported, oh, she wasn't even in LA. What I meant was she wasn't at the show. She was in LA. She lives there. She's got a home there. But she was not at the show and was never planned for Raw on Netflix. And for those wondering, she's doing fine through the fires and all that stuff. I know it has gotten scary and all that, but she is under WWE contract. They have not, I don't want to say they haven't set creative, but they don't have a set date for her return. But she is under WWE contract.
I was ready for it tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley's out there, standing up and, you know.
You got to save some of your pops, as they say, Ibu.
What if I want to just pop it all off tonight, you know? Just get it all out.
We already did that ad read. Lyra emerges victorious. Ryan says the Lyra Dakota bump was nasty. Wish they got a bit more time. Happy to watch it through a commercial. I did too with NordVPN.com/Fightful. I like Lyra. In fact, when she was there with Becky, I was like, damn, they're pushing her too much. But they sort of like lulled me to sleep with Lyra a bit. Yeah. And now she's emerged. I know she can deliver. She looks like $1 million. She really throws it all at the wall when she wrestles. I will say the same thing, Ibu, that I've said about the US title. The last several years, WWE has done an absolute dog shit job at developing contenders for the world title. I really hope they don't do that for the US and IC as well. I want to see development.
I agree. I totally agree. I'd like to see some of the very talented women in the NXT's women's division to come up and figure into this. And I think that best case scenario, Sean, this extended television time on Raw and SmackDown will result in more opportunities for the women to where the existence of these mid-card belts is justified and it allows more people to get over. So that's kind of my big hope for 2025.
Rhea cut the promo, by the way, and was interrupted by Nia Jax, who I was like, she better not be challenging for this title immediately after losing the world title. But
yeah,
she entered the Royal Rumble. KE775 says the segment was really bad. I didn't like it either. She was like, Bailey, why are you even here? And it's like, well.
Yeah, it was just so lit. Like, you're doing it at the top at 10 p.m. How do you not, like, usually they're pretty good at, like, when you're positioning a seg like that, something notable is going to happen, something interesting, something dynamic, and it's Rhea's first segment. I'm thinking, oh, maybe Becky comes back here. It's Nia, and what's worse, Sean, is it was just like they transported, like, the annoyance of, like, SmackDown's women's division over to Raw, and I already don't like those segments on Fridays. And now they're just like, oh, here it is on Netflix, but with Rhea Ripley standing in the middle. So I thought it was by far the weak point of this show.
I did too. And again, Nia, best run of her career, without a doubt. Bailey's incredible. Rhea's incredible. But this segment did not hit for me.
No.
Eddie says, I'm sorry. She may have improved since her last run. She gets massive heat. But Nia's segments are boring. Her matches, other than with Naomi, are terrible. I don't think they're terrible. I think they're definitely way better than they. I mean, it's the best run of her career, but
they need to be more selective about her usage in the sense that observe what's working and what isn't working. Her matches where she's basically Lady Vader work. Her segments where she kind of just walks out there in this very promo train format, and she just is kind of like, I don't know, Rhea. That was a bad impression, but when she walks out and just does her shtick, it's not great. Limit the live mic time. She can just do interviews with Jackie in the back or Kathy Kelly. She can be someone that disrupts things, interrupts matches, causes trouble, destruction, that kind of thing. When you start really doing too much with her as a television character, I think you get in muddy waters. And I can't tell you that there's been a single good live promo that Nia has had. So I don't understand going back to that play call repeatedly.
So Corey Graves just tweeted. He says, and I quote, "Imagine chasing your dream, then being told, not deciding that you're no longer physically able to pursue your dream. Then you dedicate your life to something dream adjacent and being pretty fucking awesome at it. Then when it's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, being told you're not famous enough for your own job." Just in case you've wondered where I've been.
Damn. Ooh, he is not happy about going to NXT.
No. And I had heard that he wasn't last week. And So here's the skinny on that.
Yeah.
I asked about it and they're like, well, I wasn't told he doesn't want to be on NXT. Just that he also wants to be on other stuff. And the person was very realistic. They're like, look, we love Joe Tessitore. We love Barrett. We love Michael Cole. We love Pat McAfee. They're like, but look at Pat McAfee's schedule and look how many times this is what the third time they brought him in to commentary.
Mm.
They're like, Corey's probably on Raw or SmackDown by April.
Right.
Like, but I mean, just sending him back like that. Oof.
He probably just feels disrespected by just how frivolously they threw him around there. And I get it. I didn't want to like be the guy starting the discourse, but I watched like how that happened. And in my head, I'm like, wow, they're like, all right, Corey, you're the odd man out. Go back down to NXT. And I could see him just being like, man, that's bullshit. So he went public with it. So we'll see what happens.
Hardcore match, Pat McAfee, Corey Graves. Let's do it.
I'm not a big McAfee guy. I got to be honest. I get that like he's over and he has the chemistry with Michael Cole. I think he was a bright spot during some of those really awful Vince McMahon SmackDowns. And
sure.
you're looking for something to kind of keep you enthused while you're watching the show. So his antics were that. But now that like the product's like good, I don't know. I'd rather just have a better soundtrack to what I'm watching. And I know he's for a lot of people. He doesn't do a lot for me.
Caden says, Ibu, we ain't forgetting about the Penta takes. Angry face emojis.
You don't have to. I'm very consistent. Look, I think Penta El Cerro Miedo is a wrestler who his prime, Sean, as a singles wrestler was before he was on like national. Well, I guess Lucha Underground was on national.
It was Lucha Underground season one to me. I think he was one of the best booked talent on earth. Absolutely. At that point.
And then he was a great partner to his brother, Ray Phoenix, who was an exceptional wrestler. And in the last 2 years of his AEW run, you began to see a guy who clearly was not interested in his job anymore. And his match quality suffered. And he also physically declined a bit. And I've been very
vocal
about it.
Looked great tonight. I'll say this. Looked great tonight.
He did. He absolutely did. And I've been also vocal about the fact that I think a diminished Penta will still do fine in WWE because, you know, like, without dissing anybody, I mean, this promotion is successfully getting away with pushing, like, Jey Uso and Solo Sikoa. And wherever you are with their in-ring, they're not Ricky Steamboat, Sean Rossap. So if they can get by and be big stars and be super over and pop huge crowds and do the yeets and smoke with Travis Scott, I think Penta will do just fine, too, because at the end of the day, more important than the wrestling, which I very much value and I love, more important than that is just coming off like a star and having aura and having presence and charisma. And Penta absolutely has all of those things to this day.
Negan says, is Phoenix's contract time over in 2025? Staying with Starks, use them or free them. Why pay them to do nothing? Miss them. Well, Phoenix, listen, I understand why they added his. It's because he or his brother were actively negotiating a deal with 6 to 18 months left on their contracts. And you can't do that with Starks. It seemed very petty, but yes, both of them are up this year.
Yep.
Ryan says he thinks McAfee could be a perfect heel manager. I don't right now, maybe down the line. He could be, I think that he could be a manager of some sort.
And
Express also mentions Graves as a manager.
You know who else's deal is coming up this year, Sean?
Who's that?
I am the learning tree.
I was about to say that. By the way, that was also a very good impersonation. Jesus. Yeah, it's up at the end of the year. And I think it needs to lapse. I think it needs a lapse. But Torch Crawler says Dakota and Lyra killed it. Absolute Sprint wanted Dakota, wanted more time. Hate that Lyra cut that promo about losing to Nia like she didn't beat Becky clean 15 months ago. Was it 15 months ago? My God.
That was a hell of a match they had in NXT.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was. Torch Crawler says the transfer window is Triple H's new NXT call-up. Lazy for not knowing how to end feuds definitively. Yes, the transfer window is absolutely lazy.
My problem has been it's very sloppily handled. Like it's been so vague in how they're communicating how it even works. Like they didn't tell you where and when it closes, how it works, what side gets how many opportunities to do anything. It just sounds like we're gonna make some shifts with the roster and we'll figure it out on a weekly basis. And when we decide on this guy to this guy, we'll just tell you in a backstage segment. And so it's just very sloppy is kind of my problem with it.
I don't have a lot to say about Sami Zayn versus The Miz, except for the kick in the corner into the Blue Thunder Bomb should have been his finish all along.
It looked great. It came off great. And seeing the Blue Thunder Bomb win a match was nice.
Yeah, it was just, it's the perfect setup for that. And the Blue Thunder Bomb looks so much better.
Yes.
With the Helluva kick setting it up.
Totally agree.
It was fine. Judgment Day have a huddle backstage. Tung says Carlito's shirt said street trash, new merch, much discussed merch for about the last 6 months, but it happened.
I think it kind of rocks that they wanted to change the name of the group. Everyone was like, that sucks. And WWE was like, well, we made all these shirts, so you're going to wear it anyway. You're going to wear it anyway.
Oh man. Dominic is trying to appeal to Liv and Liv is not having it. But by the way, listen, they are wearing out that copy of WWE 2K24. Like,
they have beaten every mode. They've played every guy. They've used every wrestler.
You know, it's a physical copy, too. Like, you know,
that CD is begging for help. That CD's been in like 45 plane rides at this point. You know what I mean? The PS5 is tired.
Yeah. They did it. I mean, and 2K25 is around the corner. Listen, I just want to say this. Some very nice people at 2K, and I don't know if I'm even supposed to mention this, but
folks, what Sean is going to reveal is that he did the motion capture for a lot of the moves you see in that game. A lot of those really crisply executed.
I have been asked to do motion capture for a wrestling video game in the past.
He was going to be on Fight Forever.
That was good. They're going to have me do the drop toe hold for that.
Yes.
But some wonderful people from 2K said, hey, we got back from break and realized that you had some losses in your family. And we remembered that you actually left Royal Rumble early to spend time with your grandmother. And we wanted to send you a nice token. And they sent me and my family flowers, which is very, very nice of them. Shout out to the 2K people for doing that. That was incredibly kind thing and a kind gesture there. But we did have Damian Priest defeating Finn Balor in what is, I hope to God, the end of all this. And it was a hoot. It was a fucking hoot.
It was, Sean. This was a
broken arrow off the balcony into a table. There were some barbecue chips that flew into the air. Listen, Ibu, I am a mid-90s table guy. And by that, I mean, I miss when Ahmed Johnson would pick up some absolute fucking doofus and just heave them through a table. And you got two way too heavy CRT monitors flying through the air. Absolute you got a ball, bowl yeah. of punch and some soda pop.
You're speaking my language right now.
All over the place. That's when table bumps were men. By God.
Remember when Shawn Michaels did the crossbody to Mankind, threw one at
Vikings. Yes, Diesel putting a guy through a table and the monitor just cave in. Like, listen, put some stuff on the tables. AEW used to be real good about that back in the day, too. They would put stuff on the tables and it would look great. It would fly all over the place. And then if there was a pad underneath, it would kind of mask there was a pad underneath it. That was cool. We got to see little barbecue chips flying through the air during Priest and Balor, and the crowd was all for it. Balor said, hell no, you ain't stretchering this little bitch out, and dragged him back in and beat him. Loved it. This was fantastic.
I was kind of in awe at how solid this was. You know, Finn's coming out, and I tweeted, like, he really can't afford to lay an egg here. Mm-hmm. And Finn Balor, for about a year now, has been very much at a certain level. Finn Balor is not bad these days, but he's not, like, eye-poppingly like great anymore. Here he worked his butt off to really help Priest look great. There was some grit to this match. There was some like aggression. I liked the crowd brawling. Like, again, it was just gritty. And I'm watching this thing and I'm like, let's get some cool spots in the crowd. And then we did. The Falcon Arrow, the tables came out. The bad guys are jumping Damian Priest, and then that's when the War Machine comes out for Raiders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is so Paul Heyman right now. But I just thought that, look, Damian Priest has been a revelation as a babyface.
Been great.
I did not expect him to connect this well as a good guy, but he has. And he's just a really fun big man. And I thought he got to come out triumphant. We didn't even talk about the spot where Balor's into the commercial break. Balor's getting wheeled out in a stretcher. And I'm like, what are they doing here? And they come out of the commercial break, and Priest is like, get over here! And he just runs over there, and he just wheels him right back. Balor rolls right into the ring with the neck brace. That's good shit. Balor also, like, telling the guys to hold him in position so he could do his little neck brace coup de grace. That's good shit. That was great pantomime. Oh. This sick smoke and mirror stuff. And I thought this was a really, really fun match, honestly. And I'm really glad to put this to rest. Go ahead.
Balor with one of the most brutal pant shitter coup de grace I've ever seen, like right on the stomach. Like, I don't know how you don't hurt somebody on that move. So Finn Balor, far more graceful than I, but a fantastic match.
Yeah. I feel like you got to like suck in your gut and hold your breath when you're taking it. You know?
Man, listen, if I would hate to have been the heel that worked with him on live events when he was a babyface, because they're taking that every night and they're shitting their pants at least twice a week, for sure. For sure.
A lot of painful nights in the bathroom, you know.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop into the comments section. I am there every day. We are here every night for each night of pro wrestling, NXT, AW Dynamite. I will be out this week because I'll be in Cincinnati. We got ROH and TNA. We got SmackDown. We got Collision. We got TNA this weekend as well. We got daily shows. Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian on Tuesday. Myself and Jimmy, not this Wednesday, but most Wednesdays with The Hump. We also have Grapsity every Saturday. My God, so much. And then Sunday, this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, the Fightful Awards, by God. Ibu, tell people where they can find you.
Folks, you can find me at Backup Hangman on Twitter, same name on Blue Sky. You can also find me, follow at Selfmade PW. That is the name of the Discord that I co-run with my good brothers, Rob Ayo and Chris O'Bread. Follow at Selfmade PW. The link to join our Discord is in the bio. And if you come in, you get to watch wrestling with us. You get some awesome scoop ciggies. You get all kinds of other fun. It's just a great community. And anybody who's in there could vouch for it. It's been an awesome, fun community. Follow at Selfmade PW. Again, follow me there. Follow me at Backup Hangman. You could also catch me on the Wrestle Purist channel, which I will be on tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon with my boy Rob. We will be there for the Raw review, where we don't actually review Raw like I do with Sean. We just kind of bullshit around, but it's a lot of fun. And so those are all the places that you can find me.
Guys, check him out. Support him. He does a lot of great stuff. Reminder, we are on Blue Sky. We are on Facebook. All that good stuff. Also, If anybody knows how the hell to get our Instagram account back, help me out. Help your dude out.
Absolutely.
Until next time, guys. We're out.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.